So, good morning, John and Mike listeners. And we are sitting in the beautiful offices of the Peninsula Chamber of Commerce off the highway just beyond the ferry. I am with Denny Warner, Executive Director of the Peninsula Chamber of Commerce, and with Mitchell Morse, as in Morse code, owner, partner of the Fickle Fig Farm Market. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And we are starting a series, we being the Peninsula Chamber of Commerce and myself, I'm a board member, and we are starting a series about hearing the stories about business on the peninsula, because those stories aren't being told. And Denny took me to your restaurant, I guess that's what we call it, Marquette,
yeah.
Off of Mills Road?
Mills Road.
And I went there and I was blown away. I loved it.
Thank you.
I just loved it. And so I thought we need to hear your story.
Yeah.
And so today's about your story.
Great.
Okay.
Hope you have time.
Oh, we got time. We'll do many. Maybe we can do one there.
Yeah.
So Denny, why don't we start with you? How come you took me there? You know this place.
Well, I'm a little embarrassed to say how much time I spend there, but I'm there a few times a week, we'll say. Because there's so many things for food. If you just need something for a lunch or a breakfast or a great coffee, they've got that. But also on my way home often, I'll just stop in and grab things that I can put together for dinner, whether it's just the pizza dough or some of the fresh pasta or some of the things out of the freezer that are already pre-made. So yes, much of my meals, my sustenance comes from the
Comes from there. Wow. So you're really the peninsula energy source. Okay, tell us about your story. Tell us about your farm market. Where are you from?
Well, I originally grew up in New York, upstate New York, and that's where half my family still is.
Okay.
We had a dairy...
Did you take a left turn and end up in a dairy?
No. It's a weird set of coincidences. I'm not a stranger to just kind of going where the wind takes me. Maybe I'm the fickle of the fig.
Okay, cool.
But my mom is Canadian, so I, by birthright, got the opportunity to have both citizenships.
Right.
And so after university, I went to Korea for 3 years, and then I met one of my best friends who's from Vancouver, and he's like, you should move to Vancouver. And I was like, all right. So I got my citizenship, and I just moved blindly to Vancouver about 2006. So I don't even know how long ago that is.
Well, I turned 60 on Monday, and so I don't count anymore.
Yeah.
So 2006 was somewhere a ways.
Yeah, a long time ago. But I just got really... started working in the restaurants there, took myself to pastry school, and decided, you know, you got to start figuring out what you want to do in life. And then I started getting a little...
By the way, I still don't know.
I think I got it figured out. I just want to do too much now. But yeah, I got a little garden plot next to St. Paul's Hospital downtown. And in my spare time, I started gardening. And before you know it, my little garden plot was going multi-level high, and I had a problem with all the other people gardening, that my space was becoming too much. So
so you were intimidating them.
Yeah.
The plants.
I had a lot of farming to get out,
okay.
And downtown wasn't doing it.
Right.
I'd make suggestions to some of the chefs and some of the restaurants I was working in of maybe, you know, you have a whole rooftop, maybe we should plant some herbs, or, and they're like, well, we're just way too busy for that. And there was no windows, the conditions were actually not great for chefs.
Very urban.
Yeah, and very, you know, less than minimum wage, you know, 12 hours a day.
Man.
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
So then I always knew I wanted to do a farm-to-table kind of a restaurant, bakery, bistro, whatever.
So you had a vision early on.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is like 10 years probably in the thinking.
Yeah, wow.
Process of whatever. So then... my partner at the time had family here, and we moved here, and we immediately found an ad for some farmland on Salt Spring. and a restaurant just down in Ganges for sale, and I was like,
this not is the it. One right beside the ferry terminal.
No.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
No, farther in, like okay. where it was the only licensed patio in the Saturday market area, and I was like, okay. oh, that's a gold mine.
Yeah, yeah, right on.
So we actually went and signed up, and we were going to sign a farm lease and sign up for the restaurant, and we went there after negotiating with these people. And we got there, we were on the mid-ferry, and they told us they gave it to someone else.
Oh, no.
So I was like, okay, so guess we're not moving to Salt Spring.
Yeah. Probably with the Islanders.
Probably a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. It would have been hard, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have done as well as I'm doing here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would have been really hard for you, Denny, to go there for every meal.
I know. Long trip every day.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then I get discouraged for a little bit. But I'm the type, I got to beat my head against the wall a few times before I really get the lesson. Luckily, it's a weird coincidental story of that the landlords I have now on Alderley saw the same ad for the same farmland and figured that they have farmland in the bottom of their field that they could do the same renting, you know, in exchange for farm taxes. Mm. That's kind of how it works. I mean,
yeah, I understand.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's not a secret.
It's a, you know, it works for them. Yeah. It works for me. Yeah, right. You know, I can't afford that one. But I immediately applied for them, and it's been that way ever since. Hmm. So.
And so somewhere along the way, you see this extraordinary piece of property on Mills Road.
Yes.
And make that, where did that start as a restaurant amazing place on the planet?
No. And we looked for a while, because it was, 2 years after we started our farm. We knew we wanted to start the farm first, as opposed to start a market first, because you need stuff to work with.
Oh, you need content.
Yeah.
That's what we call that in a digital business. You need food.
Yeah. And I didn't want to be like a lot of places, even though in the beginning we still bought from a lot of local farmers, and we're still buying from a lot of local farmers, which I think there's nothing wrong with that either, because everybody's winning right now. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, so we actually were looking in Sydney to start a little market location, and we applied again, and some of the people thought we didn't have any experience, so we probably wouldn't make it, so they didn't give us the location. I was looking at the Surly Mermaid mm-hmm. location.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God, you know, if all the businesses that have been successful were stopped because someone didn't have experience, we would likely not have many businesses.
Yeah. And then one day I was just driving past the Mills Road space, and I saw a lease sign on it, and I was like, oh my God. Like, it's a little out of the way, but if your stuff's good, people will find you. And I went in there, and it all worked out. But it was a garden center, so trying to put a commercial kitchen... Plumbing, and you know, bathrooms.
Yeah.
And
well, for the 38 bazillion listeners we have, mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to. That's how many, by the way, on a good day.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks.
bazillion.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
thanks. And so for all those listeners, I think that's a good way to describe kind of what your market looks like. It this notion that it was a gardening center gives a sense of the expansiveness, the openness, mm-hmm. I think, right?
Yes, it's kind of an outdoor setting. Almost.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a fascinating story. We could just go on and on around that. So tell us, what is it you sell? What is in there? And at the end, maybe expand around the localization of the food is very fascinating, too.
Yeah. Well, we sell... you know, select things of meat. We mainly focus on pork, pork and lamb, which we do ourselves.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, like I said, we didn't have enough stuff to supply just our own stuff. So I reached out. I was a vendor at the North Saanich Farmers Market for 2 years and at the Sydney Market for 2-3 years. And so I offered it to anybody, any of the farmers, because one of the major problems for us is you've got a good tomato on Monday, you have to wait till Saturday to sell it, unless you're doing hustling, like selling the CSA baskets where you have to go deliver them to people's houses. And we did it all. So I offered it to them of, here's a market, anybody can sell in there. We'll take the lowest commission of 10% or 15% max, so you still make your money. I just need to cover having a shop person in there.
Yeah.
Maybe
business costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still, there are still some farmers still doing that.
Cool.
Granted, we've now eventually have to push them out a little bit because now we've invested heavily in our farms.
Oh, sure.
To do our own stuff, and that was always the end goal. But
yeah.
Everybody did pretty well. So
we went in there, Danny and I, and we had a coffee and some muffin or something and a lunch. I had a pizza.
Yeah,
someone can go in there and just have a coffee and have this amazing food. I think that food is all made at your market.
100%.
And oh man, was it good.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope your cooks and employees hear how much I love the food.
Yeah.
Thank goodness it's out here. For the 32 bazillion listeners, they might not know that I'm rather heavy set.
Yeah.
I like to eat. But there's an added element. Not only is there that, there's sort of, you can then go and buy, it's almost like a bit of a butcher market, right? You can buy meat.
It's a little bit of everything. Like there's a freezer full of we're unofficially organic, and I don't want to pay money to be labeled as that, but I practice all the same thing. So there's a growing number of people. If you know your farmer, if you can like look me in the eye and say, do you feed your animals anything weird or is there any hormones? I'll tell you no, and I don't have any reason to lie to you. So I don't want to have to pay to tell you that. Just ask me. That's the kind of small town that I like about here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we have the meat. We've got all of our fresh produce that comes in every morning from our own farm because we're commuting from there anyway, so it works out really well. There's fresh berries. There's fresh flowers that we're getting into now, as well as the fresh baked goods.
Yeah. And what was
and that's the fantastic part.
Yeah.
Just the fresh baked bread every day when you go in, it just smells so good in there. That's
Can you smell it from here?
Because you're going a mile away. Maybe that's my problem.
That's right. Yeah. But you have the prepackaged food. Like you can go in and buy a dinner and cook it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really unique, you know.
Yeah. The ready meals, a lot of people that just don't care to cook, will make like vegetable lasagnas or meat lasagnas or something. It's still what we do. It's not like I'm buying a frozen meal from somewhere or buying everything is made there.
Yeah.
We're using all of our own eggs for our pasta and stuff like that, and we extrude it every day just because we have Italian roots, so we're really big on simple, good food.
And you've just started dinners now. You do that again.
Yep. Staffing, believe it or not, is really hard around here.
We haven't heard that before.
Yeah. I can't find enough people that want to work, so we are... I just baked this morning, so I am...
Yes. I had an email from you at 3 a.m.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was like, I hope when I send an email, it doesn't, like, buzz your phone or something. So I'm always unsure. No. But I'm like, maybe
whatever.
Silent.
Yeah, right.
It's my time to be productive.
Exactly. But work to my schedule. We could have done the podcast at 3 in the morning. Not.
Yeah. Well, hey, we have really good coffee there.
So. Oh, do you? Okay, that's funny.
So we're trying to hit every target of like the ready meals, something quick and easy. But the main reason I started this whole thing now, instead of having this nice restaurant in Sydney, which I always dreamed of doing, or restaurant somewhere where it's a little more casual, high end, I've now turned into a guy who cares more about making sure no food goes to waste. And that's where my heart really lies. Mm-hmm. And I realize that's a big problem with the farmers markets. I used to watch the farmers just... either chuck some of the things out or just give it away. People grow a lot of stuff, and I think it's really exciting, and we should have a lot of that. But where is it going?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been interested to see, too, at your place, things that I've never seen before. And so I see that actually now and understand that you've repurposed a lot of things. So you'll see, like, your kale pesto or things that you have
weird.
A lot of in season. And so we talked about you're going to be doing some pies for us for an upcoming event, and you said, well, it'll be rhubarb because that's what's in season right now. That's what we have right now, so...
You know, I do a bunch of work with manufacturers and industry on the peninsula. And that is a substantial hidden industry out here. Literally the economic engine, in my opinion, and the stats prove it, for Lower Vancouver Island. What we don't appreciate enough as well is the agricultural industry on the peninsula.
Mm.
And how important it is. How expansive it is, and you represent so many of those principles around buying local, feeding local, not wasting food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are on the 32 bazillion listener podcast, but really you should be on CBC, you know, promoting this message.
Yeah.
Somewhere in New York, that would be great. Yeah. Somewhere in New York picks up your...
Yeah. We should... Well, I feel there's a lot of people that feel the same way, and I just feel this is how everybody kind of should be. We, you know, you talk about, like, we are on an island and the whole thing of, like, if there's just 2 days worth of food or whatever, we always joke that we're fine at the market. We'll just lock it down and yes. we can outlive whatever. But
maybe we're going to have to edit
we'll
that because we're going to have all these people come down to your market. Yeah. The first little tremble of an earthquake. Oh, 100 people are here.
But it's nice because, like, in our thing, it's we've had some really great chefs come through. And they didn't quite get how we cooked because they're really used to, this is our menu, let's go out and buy it. Mm. Whereas, like, it's kale season, mm-hmm. can you put it in a sandwich?
Right.
Can you put
right.
it in the pasta? Like, right. we've got too much of it.
That
our sandwiches
so cool.
get a little weird sometimes, but...
Always amazing.
Yeah, it's all fresh, at least. And then, you know, you might try something new, and there's, you know, the construction worker guys come in there, and they have this kind of a more of a daintier sandwich, and it's just... I don't know, it's neat seeing people
go
try
beyond
to be
their,
a little more open about
yeah.
this is how you should,
yeah.
should be eating.
Yeah.
You should be eating what's in season, not...
Well, we need to interview you again.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Thanks.
So much stuff to talk about.
I want to know about how your partnership came up with Howl Brewing, because
yeah.
that's a whole new...
Yeah.
Favorite. Well, it's not new, but...
Yeah.
You have a partnership with a brewing company?
A,
yeah.
I have...
Right,
yeah.
part of their building.
They're licensed.
Yeah.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
Yeah, well, we're not licensed. It's I
yeah.
can get into some stuff, but it's like...
That's been a challenge.
Yeah, it's... And I'm still waiting for our liquor license to go in effect, which is really silly, seeing
mm-hmm.
how we've got bad advice from the liquor board.
Mm.
I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
Oh, you can say whatever you like.
Great. Okay.
Without hurting your goal.
Yeah,
I mean, we are... as chambers are painfully... aware of how bureaucracy stops business.
Yeah.
And one of the key elements of being in a chamber is to have them help remove that bureaucracy, because, boy, it gets in the way of business.
Mm-hmm. It really does, because I've been open now. We just completed our third year on April 15th, and we're still building our own kitchen still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still a lot of work to do. But the brewery, I had a little space at the end of the market, and... I've got a unique situation where I'm on ALR land. So I respect that 100%. And I was told that in order to be able to serve any kind of food, you have to make liquor. So I was like, all right, well, I'll have a brewery and then I'll serve.
Is that an ALR?
I don't know what rule that is. But my example was always, there's another business that's very similar. Thou shalt not be named.
Okay.
But I saw how they did it. And I was like, well, if they can do it, I should be able to do it too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's even true too, but I kind of make my own rules up and I just believe them so much that I just go for it.
Really?
So I said, okay, I know.
So you do first and ask for permission later.
And
I'm exactly the same way.
Yeah. And I've been told that by a lot of businesses nearby that just, you know, ask for forgiveness later, just like you said. But I know kind of the idea of brewing, like making your own wine and stuff, but I just was like, okay, I've got this little space. I don't really have the time to do that as well. So I'm just going to reach out there like somebody did for me for farmland. And sure enough, there was a guy in Souk who was like, I'm looking for brewery space. I was like, all yours, go for it. And it's been a learning process, but they're finally open as of last May. So they've only been for a year. But part of their business plan is relying on me being able to serve that beer, which I can't. Because I have been waiting for about a year for my own liquor license. And we were advised from the liquor board to apply for... I'm a food primary business, so I apply for a food primary license. I don't want to turn into a pub. It's about the food because I'm on ALR land.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I guess, the first application for North Saanich that... went about this in the way I did.
Yeah.
Because most people did the brewing first.
Okay.
And then added
then
the
added
food
the
component.
Food. Yeah.
But for me on ALR land, isn't it about food versus drink?
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know why this is such a shock to
you. Well, that's of course, one of the key benefits to belonging to a chamber is that a chamber can represent interest for you. So I think that's really cool that Denny is here hearing this. Yeah. And maybe can connect with some folks and see what's going on. I don't want to put work on your table.
No, we've been working on other issues because we've also established that there were some issues around signage and highways and those kinds of things.
Wow.
So yes, we've been working on a few fronts, including one of the other ones is just that there is kind of a, I call it some sort of discrepancy between the ability to sign wineries on highway signage and not be able to sign breweries.
Wow, what a mess. Okay, at the very least... Can the brewery serve brew?
Yes.
Yeah. So you could eat at your restaurant, your farm market, go over there, have a drink, and then come back.
Yes.
Okay, it's a little bit more complicated.
Luckily, they do flights and stuff, and you can fill your growlers or mini growlers, whatever. I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah.
But they actually preemptively did a little picnic area. I said you could use a little space outside, so they applied for a picnic license, so you can actually take our food there. And then bring your beer there. But it's just, I don't know why it's got to be so complicated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're adults.
So it needs to, okay, so that's some story we can follow up on maybe down the road.
Yeah.
This, okay, let's be more realistic. Let's call it the 32 million instead of bazillion listeners. They're likely at this stage, we're at 21, 22 minutes, are going, I got to get back to work or something. Yeah. So why don't we end?
Okay.
And this is a fascinating story. Everyone who's listening needs to go to your market off of Mills Road. It's just a fantastic place, but it really represents your vision, your principles, everything that you exude in that we've talked about in this podcast is happening right there. Yeah. I loved it. Thank you for introducing me. And we have lots to talk about down the road. If you are enjoying this, we need to have updates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, like, for Denny and stuff, just on a personal level, the reason I'm here and I want to always work with people like you because you actually talk the talk and walk the walk and you are in the market often, which is why we've succeeded. But I don't know. That means a lot to me. Mm. And I am so used to doing it on my own, the hard way, all the time, because I just feel there aren't people that say, hey, do you need a hand? Or I can do this for you if you'd like. Or it's nice. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Well, this has been so great. I can't wait to do it again. Mm-hmm. Until next time, Denny Warner and Mitchell Morris.
There you go.
See you next time. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah.